Good morning, New Mexico. Welcome to the Santa Fe Radio Cafe. My name is Mary Charlotte. We're broadcasting from the Santa Fe Baking Company, streaming on the web at KSFR.org, podcasting at SantaFeRadioCafe.org, thanks to Dot Foil Computer Services, and we're at Facebook.com/RadioCafe. And it is the fifth day of the KSFR Spring Summer Fun Drive, and we are asking you once again to call 505-428-1393, 505-428-1393, and make a donation to KSFR. And we're going to make it really fun for you this hour because we are talking about an upcoming exhibition, actually starting tonight, called Mining the Unconscious. It's an all-summer-long multimedia series of events. It's about the creative process and inspired by the Red Book of Carl Jung. And for those of you who don't know what the Red Book is, we will learn about that during this hour. And we are going to be doing the following. For anybody who calls and makes a contribution to KSFR by calling 505-428-1393, 428-1393, for those who call and make a contribution of $50 or more, you will be in a drawing for a copy of the Red Book, which is a very expensive, very beautiful, very large. I mean, it's almost like it's a coffee table book that you got to buy a new coffee table to put on. If you make a contribution, you will be in a raffle for, in a drawing for this book, and only people who donate during the hour between now and 9 o'clock will be in this drawing. So if you call right now, 428-1393, and make a donation, then right after the 9 o'clock news, we will see who wins a copy of that book. We also have a print by artist Harriet Soucy, who we will meet in just a moment. So if you go to ksfr.org and see this very beautiful print, you can get that for making a contribution as well, and we'll talk about that in a moment. I would like now to welcome Belinda Edwards and Harriet Soucy. They are both artists, and they are two of the many organizers of this series of events, Mining the Unconscious, and Anne Yeomans, who is an archetypal therapist, and she is also on the advisory board of this event. Welcome to the Radio Cafe.
Thank you, Mary Charlotte.
So let's talk about this, Mining the Unconscious. What is the unconscious, and why should we mine it?
Well, okay, go ahead.
We should mine it because out of the unconscious come a lot of images that artists work with and that occur in all cultures, whether they have had contact with one another or not. And to Jung, this represented something he called the collective unconscious. And it also represents the deepest and truest part of yourself. I think about the petroglyphs. They exist everywhere, from Australia to the caves in Lascaux and France and Altamira, Spain. Their images are very simple. Another one, very similar. Another one that's very common is a mandala or a circle shape, which represents wholeness. And this has come out of the unconscious of cultures across the world. So for me, the unconscious represents a way of focusing and centering that's different from being in what Jung called the spirit of the times, which is the spirit of distraction, not necessarily unity. I think he was very prophetic in describing what has become the vast wasteland of materialistic cultures. And so a good reason, again, to approach the unconscious is to access, I want to say, the divine. And you do this indirectly. It's hard to approach the divine directly because we can't experience it through our senses. But by going into our unconscious, we can experience it, and we can manifest it in drawings, in dance, in music, in poetry, all forms of creativity.
Anne Yeomans, you are an archetypal therapist. When we talk about the unconscious, and again, the question of what the unconscious is and how it gets the way it does, I mean, my unconscious is different from yours. What's going on there? Is it a different, I mean, universality aside, I mean, okay, you know, there's mandalas in many cultures and so on, but the things that are deep inside of one person, another person, Is it all like childhood stuff, childhood memories? What's in there?
Oh, not at all, just childhood stuff. It's an actual receptivity within us that is always available, except we're not always available to it. One of the interesting things about what Harriet said, the awareness of the unconscious is known all over the world, but in our culture, we have almost no initiation to the unconscious. We're taught how to be socialized and how to join the spirit of the times or the rat race and be distracted from those other voices, other rooms within us. And each person has individual experiences of the unconscious. There's the collective unconscious, but there's also the personal unconscious, where our particular images and the voices that are trying to reach us are specific to us, and we're the mediators for those things. But we only are receptive to those things if we're trying to get in touch with our creative tendencies and with our creative individuality. And the beauty of the Red Book is it's the only book, I believe, in psychiatry and psychology that actually opens the field of the unconscious to the arts and to creative thinking. The Red Book was created because Jung had a crisis in his life. He had succeeded in all sorts of ways outwardly and as a psychiatrist, and he was seeing schizophrenic patients, but he hadn't made the connection between the deep unconscious and as a mind, really, which is a brilliant title for this exhibition, is to go into the unconscious and actually find treasures, find jewels. And it's absolutely necessary for the arts.
It's funny that the metaphors, and I see this in so many cultures, the metaphors of treasures and jewels are used in something that's supposed to be totally non-materialistic.
Absolutely. That's because you are in an as-if reality, where, in Jung's terms, the psyche is reality. Imagination is reality. And you give reality to the unconscious by shaping and making things and giving your energy to it and making it concrete, bringing it out into the world, which is why this is so important to have exhibitions and workshops to manifest the reality of the psyche.
Now, there are going to be a lot of exhibitions and workshops. One of them opens tonight.
Yes, and the first exhibition is going to be at the Community Gallery,
which is right next to the Convention Center.
Right next to the Convention
Center.
In Santa Fe. And it's being offered by the Santa Fe Art Commissions, and it's 32 artists, local artists, that are actually been, work will be in the exhibit tonight. But in addition to that, we have two additional exhibits. One will open in July, and that will be at the Formal College of Santa Fe. And then we also have one opening mid-August that is also at the Uncaustic Art Institute on Highway 48.
Oh, okay. So it's all over Santa Fe from north to south. And the art that's in this exhibition now, I guess at least two of you were involved in choosing and curating this art. How do you, first of all, do a call for entries? Unconscious art? No. Mining the Jungian?
Well, when we were looking at this, it's really looking at artists that work from the unconscious, and we really looked at artists that are working with dreams, working with myths. I mean, so people that are working with material that is not necessarily conscious, but is inspired by what comes up out of their unconscious process. And so the 32 artists that are in the recent exhibit submitted work that was in line with that, and then there was basically a jury that went through and selected the art. And so we've seen some of the art, and we've seen all of the art that's in the second exhibit. And what's really exciting about this is that the first exhibit is juried. You know, in the second exhibit, it's all of the other artists that were interested in the process. And so it'll be interesting to see the difference in the art and the variety of the art.
Now, You have, Harriet Soucy, a piece that, if you look, ladies and gentlemen, in Radioland at ksfr.org, you can actually see this piece. It's a Gicle print of a petroglyph from California. Tell us about how you started working with petroglyph imagery and what this piece is about.
My husband and I made a pilgrimage to a place in California called Little Petroglyph Canyon. It's actually on a naval air weapons station, which I think is kind of funny because the offbeat part of my brain has always wanted to do a painting of the glyphs on the rocks, watching all the testing going on by the naval air weapons people and saying, what the heck is this? But the petroglyphs themselves are pecked into the rock, as are the petroglyphs in New Mexico. These were done, they think, by Shoshone people. They know from looking at images from current-day drug users, often there are dots surrounding these images, there's kind of a tunnel vision, that these were probably made under the use of psychoactive drugs.
Drug users like LSD? I mean, what, right. Mushrooms? What are you talking about?
Probably cactus and, you know.
Peyote?
Yeah, okay. Medicines. These were medicines. These were not recreational drug users. They were shamans, and they were going on a journey to find healing medicine for a patient. And so one thing you'll notice in a lot of these glyphs is the bird feet, and that's a symbol of leaving the material world and going on a spiritual quest. So I was quite fascinated with these images, and I came back and did a series of 12 of them. And one of them is the Gicle print, which you chose for the fundraiser. But there are 11 others, and they're all quite interesting and quite different from the petroglyphs in New Mexico. They have a lot of interior body painting, which our glyphs do not have.
Ah, very interesting. Well, ladies and gentlemen, if you make a call right now to 505-428-1393 and make a contribution of $250, you can get this beautiful print by Harriet Soucy, and you can also, if you make a contribution of $50 or more, get into the drawing for the Red Book. We have one and only one copy of this giant and beautiful book, and I've been thumbing through it and looking at it, and it is like, it's like a, to me, like a 20th century Gutenberg Bible. It has these beautiful drawings, paintings by Carl Jung himself. Is that right?
That's correct. Yeah.
And this was not published until very recently, but it was, well, what is it? What is the Red Book?
I think the Red Book for me is really Carl Jung documenting his process of confronting his own unconscious. It has dialogues, active imaginations that he's written down, that he's gone through, and also he has supplemented that with images that he's drawn to kind of illustrate that. But I think really it's his own confrontation with his unconscious and really wrestling with his soul, you know.
He said at one point that he felt he really couldn't be a good counselor to his patients unless he understood the myth that he was living in. And he was very influenced by myths of other cultures and wanted to know what was his myth. In other words, he was kind of exploring what were his biases that he was bringing to the process of counseling others. He wanted to be aware of this. And so that was part of his journey.
Very interesting. What did he find?
Well, he found a huge number of voices and images that he wasn't even aware were there. And this happened as a result of a crisis that he went through where he didn't feel that he belonged in his profession. And it provided a container which kept him from going insane, essentially. And he knew what insanity was because he worked with psychotic patients. And so by doing the work of the Red Book, the paintings, the calligraphy, the journals, interacting with the visions, he found a way to hold this experience and go deeper into himself than any psychiatrist ever had. Now, if I could read what he said about the Red Book, that is advice to us. He says, I should advise you to put it all down as beautifully as you can in some beautifully bound book, which he did. Think of it in your imagination and try to paint it. Then when these things are in some precious book, you can go to the book and turn over the pages, and for you it will be your church, your cathedral, the silent places of your spirit where you will find renewal. If anyone tells you that it is morbid or neurotic, and you listen to them, then you will lose your soul, for in that book is your soul. Mm-hmm. And that's what he felt that book was for him. It's his book and his way of doing it, but he says everybody else's way of doing it will be different. Their Red Book will be something totally unique and original.
We're talking about the exhibition and the multimedia series of events called Mining the Unconscious, inspired by the Red Book by Carl Jung. Once again, the KSFR fund drive number is 505-428-1393, 505-428-1393. Go ahead.
You know, I also wanted to say something about the Red Book. I was actually in a Red Book reading group, and thank God I was, because I don't think that I would have approached the material otherwise. But one of the things that I get from the book is that Carl Jung was, he actually showed us how to be in relationship to the other, you know, to what comes up through us that we didn't know that was there. And I remember in the second part of the book when he was, there's a section called Something Lowly, and he has this active imagination where he meets this man in the dark, in the mountains, and it's obvious that this man has less money, less educated, but throughout this written active imagination, there's a connection at the end of this process with him. And he really talks about how we as individuals, as artists, should honor the other that we find within ourselves, the other that we find external to ourselves, and hold that with respect.
It's really striking to me when you talk about the Red Book and what Carl Jung said about the unconscious, about mining the unconscious, that beauty is a part of it. Mm-hmm. It's not just seeing what's there, but putting it into a form that is beautiful and precious, not just in any notebook, but into a beautiful book.
And I think that's a way of honoring. I mean, one of the things that I've learned from this, from looking at the Red Book, and what amazes me is Jung took his unconscious so, and his material so seriously. And I think that it gives me an idea of what I need to do in some ways. What he's encouraging us all to do is to take the images, our active imaginations, and treat them with respect and lay them out beautifully and honor them, because I think he draws the connection that this is really our soul material. And I think that's good advice for all of us.
And I think it harkens back to beauty is truth, truth, beauty.
Yeah.
That's very much a part of art, and I'm very fascinated by who I consider to be his successor, Joseph Campbell, who did such an enormous amount of work with mythology and so forth, and who had absolute reverence for artists as manifesting the beauty, seen and unseen.
Is there no such thing as ugly truth? I think of war zones.
Well, then you get into a discussion about whether or not art is political.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't want to go there.
Yeah.
Well, he has some very bizarre and ugly images, but they're done beautifully. And one thing you get from looking at the Red Book is the intensity with which he approached this process, especially from the calligraphy and the paintings. You can feel how he just entered into the painting and spent hours and hours and weeks and months being in relationship to the images. And the images could be ugly themselves. There are some really bizarre figures, like giant caterpillars and huge snakes and death skulls, but they're done with beauty. And I think we have to think of beauty in terms of that reverence and in terms of that focus and attention and passion that we give to it. And that's what you find in the Red Book. It feels like Jung's heartbeat.
Right.
And when you feel someone's heartbeat, that's beautiful. And it could be even as somebody's dying. As the man that Belinda described was dying, but there was a responsiveness to him as he was dying. And that's beautiful. So you kind of revise your image of what beauty is through this book.
Anne Yeomans, when you're an archetypal therapist, it must have been just a shockwave through your community when the Red Book came out.
Absolutely. I thought it was mind-boggling because we knew this thing existed. We didn't quite know what was in it. The only thing that we'd seen was the Seven Sermons to the Dead, which was sort of a sermon, and not really animated. When this book arrived in October of 2009, it had been almost 100 years since it had been written. And it was breathtaking. Jung had described it, several other people had described it, but the act of looking at it was actually like being in an experience and in a relationship, not in a book. Which is extraordinary. It's still vital and alive today, and I think today is when our consciousness is actually ready to receive it. He knew that society would not be ready to even open that book, and actually he was called heretical, even in his writings. And if the Red Book had been published, he would have been called a madman. So our culture has evolved. We're happy to realize, I think.
Yeah, because it doesn't look like the work of a madman now. It looks exquisite.
Yes. Now we're
belief.
Receptive. I actually called it, I thought that Harry Potter had actually paved the way to a receptivity to the Red Book because it meant that the imagination was received in the popular culture. Mm-hmm. And a whole group of teenagers and young people now will be receptive to the Red Book because they've been tenderized to the imagination and the imaginal world.
505-428-1393 for a contribution of $50 to KSFR. Not only do you get to keep the station going for another several months, which is, I think, something that many of our listeners take for granted, but this station actually cannot keep going without listener contributions. So if you make a contribution of $50 to KSFR right now, not only will you help to keep the station going for another little while, but you will also get into a drawing for the Red Book, and the Red Book will be raffled off, so to speak. There will be a drawing after the 9 o'clock news, and so it's not one of these drawings where 10,000 people have bought raffle tickets. It's only the people who call during this hour between 5 after 8 and 9 o'clock. So make that call right now, 505-428-1393, and that's the 505 area code, and you can put in your contribution and maybe get a copy of this beautiful book.
And I just wanted to say something, because we're talking a lot about Jung's Red Book, and in the first part of his book he talks about this is his way, not the way. And I think that Jung has pointed a direction. He's shown us how important it is to work with our unconscious. But I want to really put it out there that really the program that we're looking at the exhibits, we're looking at workshops, and it's really about helping other people, you know, look at the ways that they can get in touch with their own unconscious material and the ways that they can work with that. It doesn't have to be like the Red Book. But all of this is inspired by Jung. And I think Jung would want us, if he was here today with us, to really find our own way through this material.
Very much so. And I think that points to kind of different approaches to spirituality. One is you make it your own, which is what you're talking about, Belinda. And the other is you follow an orthodoxy and you try to be like somebody else, which there's plenty of religions that offer that too. But this is really about finding your own way, which takes a certain amount of courage and independence, or just taking the first steps down that path.
That's true. But I think it's something that Jung has talked about, how important it is for us to find our own authentic selves. And a lot of us, like I'm thinking about the artists now then in the various exhibits, one way of doing that is really being in touch with your unconscious, creating images from that unconscious, being able to look at it to see what it says, you know, about you, and following your images onward. So this is just looking at a way, different doorways where people can approach the material themselves. But it really is up to all of us to figure out our own path.
Now, part of the way that you're helping people to do this and to think about that is not only these exhibitions, and there's three of them, one of them opening tonight, but there's also workshops. What kind of things are going to be happening? Ann Yeomans, you're actually teaching one of these.
Yes, I'm giving a workshop called Speaking with the Daimons in Search of Soul. And that's a word that we're not too familiar with. We're
diamonds,
used to the word
like demons.
Demons. The original word was daimon, which is in Plato's Symposium, and Diotima, Socrates' tutor, is talking about Socrates' daimon Eros, who is the god of love, and he was the tutelary spirit. He was the guide of Socrates, and as the church took over in the West. They changed that to demons, and they suggested that if you heard voices within you that were guiding you, those must be demons. They were not God, because there was only one God, there was only one Christ. But we each have many, many daimons inside of us. Jung met many of them within the pages of the Red Book.
And what's another word for that? Is it what people call guardian angels or guiding spirits, that kind of thing?
Exactly. A lot of people are familiar with their guiding spirits now. And what it is a mediating spirit between what we think of as the gods and human reality. And to have access to that, there are people who practice shamanic rituals and try to find their spirit guide. And they allow themselves to be receptive to the voices that are already there. Oddly enough, when you first go into active imagination and daimons, they're very often locked up in prison. There was one who had his soul guide was in a brothel, and it turned out he was also impotent. So that was an interesting place to find his soul guide. They appear in the most original ways because they've been repressed for so long. And that's really what that imprisonment image is. And to speak to the daimons is to release them from prison, essentially, and create a relationship with them.
What's so interesting about this project is that we're coming at it from 360 degrees. We're coming at it from people responding to the art that the artist has created, but also from the perspective of the artist. And many times when you create a work of art, the response to it is very different from what may have been your intention. So we're doing three panels by the artists themselves where they address these issues. Why do artists make art? How does art affect and reflect culture? And what is the role of the unconscious in the creative process? So throughout, we're very interested in the creative process itself and an interpretation of it by those who do the creation and those who are essentially an audience.
And in addition to the visual, because we're looking at different doorways, we have also Jane Lippman, who is a local poet, and Joan Logie, who is also the poet laureate, giving a workshop on how to write poetry and then also performance. So in addition to the visual, we have the written, we also have performance, and I think it's really showing how the unconscious is in all different areas.
We're talking about Mining the Unconscious, which is a summer-long multimedia series of events that opens tonight. Our number here at the KSFR fund drive is 505-428-1393. And once again, I want to let people know that they can get this beautiful Giclée print by Harriet Soucy, which is a kind of red image of a petroglyph, and it's a kind of a healing image, and you can see it at ksfr.org. For a contribution of $250, you can get this exact print, and for a contribution of $50 or more, you can get into a drawing for the Red Book. And by the way, I'd like to thank Collected Works Bookstore for helping us get a copy of the Red Book. We're going to go to the control room now, take a little break, hear what is going on at the phones. We'll be back in a moment. And we're back talking about mining the unconscious. And let's get those phones ringing. Let's keep them ringing. 505-428-1393. One copy and one copy only of Carl Jung's The Red Book. And that will be, there'll be a drawing for that after the 9 o'clock news. So this exhibit and series of workshops and series of events and poetry and performance and all the things that we've been talking about going on now, starting tonight through the month of August, this is a real community event.
Yes. And this is what makes this program uniquely different. I don't know if I can put those two words together, but basically this is made up of volunteers. No one's getting paid for participation in this project. And we've had artists throughout the community. We have therapists that are participating. I mean, everybody has actually donated their time to this project. And we have like over 20-some-odd workshops. And these are individuals. For example, we have a couple of people that are here during the summer from California that are basically doing workshops. It's Stephen Karcher. He's doing the I Ching workshop. And Michael Ortiz Hill. Both are doing workshops. One is doing a workshop with a fee, but they're both are here, you know, donating their time.
So now, your workshop, Ann Yeoman's, Finding Your Demon. When is that?
That's June 25th, Saturday, June 25th, from 12 to 4 at the Community Gallery, where the exhibition is going to be.
And so people can just show up for that? Do they have to sign up?
Well, no, they should RSVP at 983-6070. And I'd like to talk with them about what their interest is to find out how we can delve into this area. Because I believe there's a direct connection between working with the daimons and the creative arts and expressing itself in dancing and painting and writing. And the necessity of this contact has been necessary for most artists and writers over the centuries. They've had to do creative work by virtue of getting in touch with their creative daimons.
So if people want to actually sign up for that workshop and talk to Anne and so on, they can also go to miningtheunconscious.com, where all the information is.
.org.
Miningtheunconscious.org, where all that information and all the RSVPs and all that stuff and a very comprehensive listing of all the events is happening.
Yes, and it gives the RSVPs, it gives the workshop descriptions, locations, everything.
It also gives images of the work in the exhibitions.
Excellent. Now, how did you, Harriet, become an artist and start doing the kind of work that you do?
I've always been an artist, but I've had to wait. I raised three children. I had to work. Actually, I worked for public television and some of the call-a-thons. And finally, when I retired from all of that, I was able to do what I really wanted, which was to do my art. And I try to do it in a very disciplined way. I have a studio. I go in there. I try to go every day, even if I don't create work, just to get in that space. That's my sacred space. Mm-hmm. And I'm a happy person.
Yeah.
I heard someone say that when you do what you love, money doesn't matter. And that's true. It's just very gratifying to go in there. sometimes when you do a work, my work has become increasingly abstract since I did the Petroglyph series. That series was done in 2007. And now I'm working very abstractly with a very ancient medium called encaustic, which is pigmented wax. It was developed by the Egyptians to paint the mummy masks, and contemporary artists have gotten fascinated with this. For me, it's the perfect medium because you have to work in layers. And for me, layers give physical and psychological depth to art. And so I've always worked that way, whether it was with acrylic or with encaustic. And it's just a very meditative and wonderful process to be in a studio creating art.
One of the things about the unconscious, I think, is that when you start delving in, you find things that are not so wonderful. You find things that are scary, sometimes terrifying. Sometimes people want to get out right away and get back into their car or their go eat a sandwich and not think about those things. And you're for a therapist or for an artist, how do you deal with it when the really tough stuff comes up?
Well, you deal with it by creating a relationship. If you run from it, it'll still be there, and it'll still be coming to get you sometimes, even possessing you. So to develop a way, like Belinda's example was so wonderful of this lowly man who actually was kind of frightening, and most people would run the other way when seeing him, to actually talk to that figure and get to know him as a human being, get to know why he's there, why these figures are coming to you. It's really another part of the creative process is to face your demons and get into relationship. And if you're afraid of it, you can always draw it. You can always dance it. You can always write a poem about it instead of being distracted by the culture and distracted by all the noise. I mean, Jung would be really upset by the amount of distractions that are in our culture now. He didn't even have a gramophone, and he certainly didn't watch TV.
Right.
We do find what Hillman calls our broken images in the culture. We don't have complete images. We have sound bites. We have clips. We have advertisements. We have very fragmented images.
Yeah.
And sometimes that will give rise to very disturbing images in the psyche because the psyche is needing food and it's not getting it. It's just getting pieces and very unnourishing food.
Very
if your art makes someone want to get in their car and drive away, you can know that you've done a very powerful piece of art. And this came home to me during 9/11 because I don't have a television, so I listened to the whole account of 9/11 on the radio. And one of the descriptions was of women taking off their high heels so they could flee from the collapsing buildings. So I did a piece that showed two very abstract towers in the background and all these high heels on the pavement. And I put it in a show in Las Cruces. And my husband and I went down to see that show, and we sat anonymously and watched people look at that piece.
Mm.
And to me, the whole success of that experience was seeing a woman look at it, think about it, realize what it was, and gasp.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
Very interesting.
And I wanted to comment on something that Anne said, that, and you said also that how the unconscious sometimes is a frightening place to be. But I had an experience where I was really upset, and I did five images, and just not to sell, but just to kind of express, you know, what was going on with me at a deep level. And what I realized after I had done those images, I still didn't have the words for it other than I felt that something had transformed. And as I worked through that, like for a couple of months later, I realized I left a position. You know, there was a lot of things that had happened by just me working with my material. You know, so the unconscious is also a beautiful place to be. And I think by working with our unconscious, we end up in a very, in a different place. I think Jung had talked about it. It's like in a transcendent place or all I can say is in a different place. It's a very powerful process.
And it sounds like a more peaceful place.
A much more peaceful place. And I go back and I look at the five images that I created, and two I actually did through G. Clay's. And one image is of a woman with an eye, which I realized that I do a lot of collage and mixed media, and a lot of my images have women with eyes looking. But the fifth image was a woman kind of coming out of this, she was bursting through this paper, and it's an eye in the front, you know, in her third eye, and she was holding an egg. And to me, once that image came, I know that situation had transformed. So it's not only about, you know, the fear of being in non-conscious. There's some beauty. There's some power. There's some things that are transformed as a result of us being willing to do our own work.
Mm-hmm. The phone number here at KSFR is 428-1393. If you like the kind of program that you're hearing and want to keep hearing it on KSFR, please give us a call now and make a donation to this program. The Mining the Unconscious, which is at miningtheunconscious.org, is going on. We're starting tonight at the Santa Fe Community Gallery, and there are exhibitions in June, July, and August. And what is amazing about this, when you look at the schedule, which you can do at the website, there are poetry workshops, there are lectures on, for example, ancestors and spirits of the dead. There's a labyrinth workshop, there's an introduction to the Red Book, poetry, the diamonds that we were talking about before. There's a lecture by Lois Rudnick called Thoroughly Modern Mabel. That's actually a fundraiser for this event, and she is an absolutely wonderful, it's about Mabel Dodge Lujan, and she's just a wonderful lecturer and scholar and person. And it just goes on and on from there. There's so many things that if our listeners were to actually go to all of these things, it would be so interesting to see what would happen if they would kind of report afterwards what they felt, what the changes were.
Mm-hmm. That's another whole project.
I know, and I'm going, my mouth is sealed. But can I comment on something you said? I just wanted to thank you. You know, it's not a lot of radio programs or TV programs that would allow us to come on and talk about this subject, the Red Book. And we're so thankful that you're here, that not only are we providing something to the community, you're providing something to the community. And if you were not here, it would be a loss for our community. So we want to thank you. And I also want to encourage people to really, if we want you to stay here, which we do,
thank you,
to call in, you know, to donate, you know, and I'm going to do that.
Thank you.
You know?
Yay.
No, thank you.
428-1393. Let's just take a moment to talk about public radio for a moment. You are also a public radio listener, Harriet.
Absolutely. As I said, I don't have a television by choice. And so my main source of information and entertainment is always public radio. I live in Albuquerque, so I don't get KSFR, but I get the public radio stations down there. And I just can't be without
K-U-N-M,
it.
KUNM, KAW.
And in my working life, I worked as a fundraiser for public television in Iowa. So I'm very familiar with the quality of this enterprise.
And so why should people donate right now?
Because of wonderful programs like yours. I really appreciate what Belinda said about your willingness to take on this subject, and we heard this again from the gallery manager, Rod Lambert, at the community gallery when we first proposed this exhibition to him. He took it to his committee, and one of the questions was, well, is this too highbrow for the community? And they finally decided that's the community's problem. Our answer is to offer this and raise the level of awareness and dialogue within the community. Yeah. And so they fully embraced it, just as you have.
I think if somebody thinks it's highbrow, they should look again, because art is universal, symbolism is universal, mythology is universal. Whether you're a dirt bike racer or an opera singer, there's a mythology there.
Absolutely.
Now, I feel that public radio is so valuable, and the weird thing about it is it's kind of like the unconscious. People take it for granted and don't necessarily value it until it's gone. And I'm so glad that you have the BBC and you have Amy Goodman, and especially broadcasting the Lannan lectures, which even if I've gone to one, I might want to hear again. I might even want to record it.
I've
taped many of the Lannan Foundation lectures. And I do perhaps take it for granted, because I just push a button and turn a switch to get you. And to see all the energy and all the creative work that goes into producing these programs, I was fascinated that you had some poets on, and I love your poetry readings. And you actually had three poets reading about love and death, of all things. And
yes.
Wow. That is pretty amazing.
Talk
to
about
have
archetypal.
This on radio. I mean, there's talk radio that just blah blahs at you all the time, but you had actual poets reading their poetry about very serious topics.
Anne Yeomans is an archetypal therapist, and Belinda Edwards and Harriet Soucy are artists, and they're all involved with Mining the Unconscious, which is at miningtheunconscious.org, a multimedia event starting and opening tonight at the Santa Fe Community Gallery and going on and on. Thank you so much for being with us.
It's been
Thank
a
you.
Pleasure.
Thank you.
And once again, 428-1393 is the number, and you've got just a couple of minutes left to make a contribution to get into the drawing for the Red Book. You've been listening to the Santa Fe Radio Cafe. My name is Mary Charlotte. We're on the web at ksfr.org and podcasting at santafe.radiocafe.org. Give a call now, 428-1393. We're going to go to the control room. Thank you so much for everybody who called, and we'll see you soon. And stay tuned and see if you won the Red Book. We're going to do the drawing after 9 o'clock. Adios.